Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Well, Tim, we've been in isolation and quarantine for a little while now. I know there are states around the country that are starting to open up and others that aren't. But no matter really what happens or what your job is, every one of us is going to spend probably a lot more time away from people over the next few months and maybe even a year, who knows, than maybe we would have before. It's kind of presented a new reality for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has. Yeah. I think it's kind of cliche to say we've all had to force ourselves to get used to doing life in a little bit different way than we did post or pre March 2020.
Yeah, this is so true. Well, before we get into like how do we do this well, I thought it might be fun if we talked about maybe some of our favorite things that we have, favorite realities maybe during quarantine, and then some of the things that we haven't liked so much. So if you don't mind, I'll go first and then you can think of what yours would be. For me, some of my favorite things have been walks outside. In fact, my wife and I moved just before quarantine started, and the place that we moved to has amazing neighborhoods and places to walk to, and that's been awesome. I've had extra time for reading, which I just felt like I was always scrambling to find time to read, and that's been awesome. Getting to spend more time at home with my wife. Typically, this is a very big travel season for us, and that just hasn't happened so much. And I also, very interestingly, I don't know if this has happened to you too, but I have found that I'm actually connecting with my family who's far away from me more during quarantine than I would have otherwise. I've got family on the West Coast that I'm getting to connect with, which has been really awesome. Some of the not so good ones, I really miss seeing our team. I don't know if you felt that way too,
but just I sure have.
The faces of our team members, they just aren't the same on a computer screen as they are in person. And it just seeing faces in general has been, you know, when you actually see one of your friends, you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot what it was like to see somebody's face. But then also that feeling, you know, you and I love to help people. We love to make a difference. And even though, I think we are making a difference and pushing boundaries and writing great stuff, I also feel powerless in some ways to help other people in ways that I might have before. And that's been a really hard reality to deal with. So what were some of yours?
Well, I so identify with what you just said. My daughter, Andrew, you know Bethany, she's a therapist. And one of her jobs outside of seeing clients is to work in a clinic, a psychological clinic for people that have mental disorders. And the entire group just got together recently. And one of the ladies, a therapist, just began to cry. And I think, are you okay? Are you okay? She goes, I just missed seeing your faces not on a screen. You know, they were doing Zoom calls, but, you know, it's like all of us. I think we won't realize how much we missed the face-to-face until we get it back and we just want to, you know, hug each other. And yet we're going to be probably apprehensive about that.
That's so true.
So, yeah. So the stuff I liked, Andrew, was not unlike your list. I loved the time I had to think. I love thinking time. And when, you know, when you're traveling, you get a little bit of it on the plane, but you're hustling to the rental car and then to the, you know, the event and back to the flight. So I've thought more. I feel like I've got to read more like you. I've got to write more. We've just, you know, worked on a new book about this pandemic. I've loved the time my wife and I are in our marriage. We're empty nesters and, we just have loved being. It's so fun to be quarantined with somebody you really like.
Yes, it is.
And that's and by the way, you'll love this, Andrew. My wife Pam always has reminded me in my hustle bustle lifestyle to stop and smell the roses. And my response is usually, I didn't even realize we planted roses. You know, so that's a picture of our marriage right there. I'm running and gutting. So the stuff I didn't like was like you, the face to face connections. I don't know. I may shed some tears when we all get to see each other in our office again. The travel moratorium, I do enjoy traveling. I don't like too much, but you know, you and I get to hop on a plane and meet new people, and we haven't gotten to do that. So anyway, that would be my like and dislike list right there, for sure.
What's funny is I think probably our likes and our dislikes snuck up on us, right? We probably didn't expect all the things that were going to happen, both positive and negative. But I think one of the biggest things that snuck up on us while we were in quarantine was we didn't realize the trade-off that was going to happen, right, with the positives and the negatives. In particular, all of the improvements maybe in our physical health have had a reverse effect on mental health. I wonder if you might talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, it's a great point you make. So everybody listening knows this pandemic has been full of trade-offs. I mean, you know, we're all safer in our house, but we're not working and the economy is dropping and unemployment is up. The big trade-off, Andrew, you just mentioned may be the biggest of all. Mm. We have traded, perhaps unknowingly, mental health for physical health.
Yeah.
So we are physically, I'm not infected. You're not infected as far as we can tell. But boy, people that aren't proactive in handling the isolation of a quarantine have gotten in trouble. And Andrew, you and I've read scads of data on this where if you're quarantined at home as social creatures, human beings are social creatures, there can be not only mental health problems, but there can be all kinds of other ramifications of domestic abuse when we're just stuck together and we're angry and frustrated and unemployed now. So Time Magazine, Andrew, you know this, carried an article that found that, and I'm going to quote here, prolonged social isolation, as with solitary confinement in prisons, is associated with a 26% risk of premature death.
It's crazy.
So human beings are such social creatures that we die earlier when we're not together. Mm. I mean, I think we just need to double click on that and say, oh my gosh, we need to get connected to each other again. And studies have shown that it shrinks the hippocampus, the part of the brain related to learning, memory, and spatial awareness. And then, Andrew, some scientists estimate that loneliness shortens a person's lifespan by 15 years, kind of like the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So I guess I'm trying to underscore, do we realize how social we are wired to be, and we better be proactive as we are forced to be alone, or we may have some trouble with our mental health.
Absolutely. And we should be surprised by this. I know we've talked in past podcasts about the crazy spikes that are going on right now in young people and old people alike calling or texting into mental health hotlines. I actually just read a recent study that estimated one hotline said it was a text hotline, and they had a spike by 1,000% year over year in the month of April. And I think these kinds of things are happening to us. And this is what we mean by snuck up, right? We think, well, let's all go for our own health and safety and the health and safety of those around us. Let's all go into quarantine. And what we didn't realize is that without some really specific actions and activities, we are giving up our mental health in order to rescue our physical health. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't have great mental health in quarantine. It just means that you have to be a lot more intentional about that.
No doubt.
Well, today we're talking about somebody who knows and understands this better than maybe anyone, right? We're talking about astronaut Scott Kelly, who spent over a year, or right at a year, I believe, in space. And so he understands what it's like to be away from your normal, right? Isolated with just a couple of people, and to do that in a way that he couldn't just go home at a moment's notice if he wanted to. What's crazy is as he's come back and processed his time at the International Space Station, he has helped other people build really good habits and mental processes during isolation. So I'm really excited about talking about this.
Yeah, I am too. So listeners, you should know that Scott Kelly is a veteran astronaut of 4 space flights. So he's definitely qualified to speak to this issue. And Andrew, if you remember when we began to study this, he said there's some specific things I did that saved me, up in that shuttle or that capsule with so many days of not interacting with anybody but the 1 or 2 or 3 people that were there with me.
Absolutely. Well, he's got some really great sound advice, super clear. I wonder if we might go through this list together and just talk about them.
Yeah, let's do. All right. So number one, this is Scott Kelly's advice to us. Number one is to regulate your expectations. Andrew, I know I probably overuse this phrase, but life is pretty much about managing expectations. Yeah. And that's all the more true in quarantine. We have to know life is going to be different and we need to adjust our expectations for what's normal. If we don't, there's going to be internal conflict. Conflict expands based on the distance between reality and expectations. So I think so much of our frustration in life stems from the distance between those two. And during this time of social isolation, we've got to adapt what we expect from life and manage these emotions. So maybe a good way to say it, if I could just cut to the chase, is we need to get psyched up for time alone. Just know it's coming, and we need to prepare more for time to read or listen to podcasts or watch documentaries. That's what I did, and I think it really helped save me over these last 3 months for sure.
Yeah, the same thing's definitely been true for me. It's about making intentional choices about, okay, I know how it's going to be, so I need to make sure that I, first of all, expect how it's going to be, but second of all, I make some decisions to include activities in my day that are going to help maybe keep me from going too far down that dark path or whatever, whatever the day requires.
Yeah, good. All right, so number two, Scott Kelly says, schedule everything. So while he's up in space in a shuttle, he just kept a rigid to-do list, basically, which I suppose you might expect, but I think we follow the advice to our advantage back here at home. So I would say, even though you've got maybe lots of extra time that you don't need to drive or, you know, all the stuff you typically do, schedule your meals, schedule your exercise, your time, your prep time for a virtual meeting. I think Scott is wise in saying, if you've got some extra time, certainly you can relax and rest for sure. But to keep a schedule keeps us sane, I think. I think we become less sane when we just kind of drift and wander, you know, and we start becoming aimless in our typical day. So look, a couple of thoughts. When we plan for various activities, we'll better practice regulating our expectations. And Andrew, you know this, nothing I love more than checking something off the list and feeling like I got something done. That just gives me a couple of endorphins right there. When we fail to schedule, we end up wasting lots of time. We end up simply reacting to all kinds of distractions that pop up through the day. So if you've been distracted during this quarantine, this might be part of your answer. Keep a tighter schedule. Isolation becomes manageable, in fact, I think, when we see a day full of meaningful projects that we can check off the list.
Yeah. This has been one thing that's really good for me. Obviously, I'm doing this during the day with my work time, but this is one thing that my wife and I have started to think about in our evenings. And actually, one of the things we do is we alternate planning the evening. So it's my time, my night, then it's her night, and we get to choose, what are we going to watch? What game are we going to play? You know, how are we going to spend our time? That's I actually know lots of people who are also taking on challenges like, you know, getting the list of AFI's top 100 movies and going down the list and watching them, or just different things like that. When you pre-schedule out activities like that, it sort of keeps your mind focused and your sanity intact and all that kind of stuff. So I love those kinds of ideas.
Andrew, you and I often talk about our brain works like a muscle, and we typically go, you know, muscles get stronger when they're worked, you know, the strength and conditioning of a workout. So I think that what you just said is brilliant. You're just saying stay alert, stay alert. Don't let yourself just veg. But I love how you and Anne are doing that. I'll tell you where I've seen this grow in my life. I have been, as a type 1 diabetic, much better at regular exercise and just doing a power walk, either early in the morning or later at night. It's just been good for me because, you know, when we're quarantined, you're probably sitting most of the time,
not
up speaking or whatever. So, and enough said, but I just think that's key for the schedule.
Love it. Let's go on to number three.
Number three, go outside for a while every day. Now, I realize many people that are giving psychological advice are saying this, but this is just good self-leadership. Even though astronaut Scott Kelly couldn't step outside of that space shuttle anytime he wanted or the space station that he was on, he discovered the importance of getting outside of his routine and maybe the very geographical location in that shuttle where he had spent the majority of his day. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
So it's just changing things up, getting into a different place. And for us, we're not in a shuttle. We can go outside. So many of you listening said, yep, I've done that. But if you haven't, that's going to be key. Scott suggests it will accomplish a lot for us if we plan a break time to walk around outside and enjoy some fresh air. I think it's wise to do that every 90 minutes. It's going to add value to our brains and our bodies. Both are helped.
Love it. Love it.
Yep.
One of the things I've tried to do is alternate my paths on the walks, right? In order to not just kind of get into the same rhythm, but, you know, try a different path, take a different road, you know, follow your internal sense of direction and see if it's totally off or right on target. It's a little bit fun and adds a little mystery to those daily walks.
Well, let me volley back a thought. So when we all first were quarantined, we just kind of snuck up on us. At first it was really cool. And here's why. We had to use our conscious minds, not our subconscious, for all the new routines. We had to think about them. Because you and I both, you get into a regular daily routine like we had prior to March, and we didn't have to think about half the things we were doing because it was a routine. It slipped down to our subconscious. Once we'd done this for a month or two, things are now subconscious again. And I think what we're talking about here is keeping our minds, our conscious minds, sharp. That means doing new things, walking new paths, like you just said. That's going to be key.
Love it. Love it. All right, let's go on to number four.
Number four, journal daily. Now, listeners, I don't know if you like journaling. You may hate it. But I think there's something powerful, beneficial, redemptive about just processing what you're going through. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Scott said, this astronaut, that one of the most helpful tasks he did while in space was to keep a journal where he doodled what was happening both in his thoughts and feelings and then outside of the shuttle. So I think this is great. I think this is just wisdom. But if you could even say, I'm not going to journal, I'm going to jot. I tease myself, just jot. Mm-hmm. Well, once I jot down a thought or two or a phrase or two, now I'm off and running and I do journal, but I think you can play a game with yourself that way. You'll look back one day, I think, on these journals if you keep them, listeners. And if this sounds intimidating, like I just said, jot, don't journal. Watch how the writing expands when you let yourself just put thoughts into words. I think that's just helpful.
That's great advice. There's actually, I'm one of those people who struggles to write great lengths, in a journal. So one thing that's been really helpful for me is there's a lot of apps out there that really are just push you to write one or two sentences a day. Here's what happened in a general sense. Here's how I felt about it. And then, sort of catalog that and move on. And even a small step forward like that has been really helpful for me. And so I just encourage people to check some of those apps out on the App Store.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, number five. This is important. If you're quarantined, but you're not in total isolation, meaning you got family members around, this next one's going to be key. I think we should recognize the difference in personalities of the people with whom you're isolated. Now, all of you know this already, but there are different Enneagram number, there are different Myers-Briggs, combo, different DISC profile. And I think it just helps to remember an introvert is going to process this time different than an extrovert. That makes sense. So much of the time, conflict arises when we get cooped up with a group of people, even if it's family, for long hours. And we'd start just assuming they should be responding like I am, which isn't going to happen. Scott Kelly said it helped him to remember the different personality types he was with in the shuttle or the space station. They'll likely communicate differently than you do, expect different outcomes, and maybe even handle stress differently. So this is just an internal step, not an external step, but just recognize people are going to be different and we need to not judge necessarily, but just allow them to process what they're going through the way their brains would have them process it.
Do you know what this reminds me of, Tim? I don't know if you'd want to share it, but it reminds me of one of our Habitudes, chess and checkers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So some of you are familiar with this that are listening, but if you're not, chess and checkers is such a great people principle. So both the game of chess and checkers are played on the same game board. So at first glance, you might think, it must be the same game, but it's not because of the pieces. In checkers, all of your pieces look alike, move alike. In chess, they're all different. I mean, they're a knight and a bishop and a rook and a pawn and a king and a queen. And only knowing the strength of each piece can you win that game. I think it's true when we're quarantined with family. We need to play chess with our family members, not checkers. Know who the bishop is, who the queen is. And I don't mean that in terms of hierarchy. I just think it's just important for us to know we need to let her be her and we need to let him be him. We're just going to be better off sanity-wise if we make that step.
That's a great insight. Great insight. All right, let's wrap this list up. Number six. All right.
Yep, number six, communicate consistently. So just like the journaling is helpful in helping you process what you're going through on paper or a tablet, I think people tend to be down on what they're not up on. Meaning if we don't communicate regularly, people are going to maybe feel or assume the worst because you didn't say anything. So I assumed you didn't like me or you don't want to be with me or this, you know, whatever. So in times of stress or isolation, we must over-communicate with others, even the items we assume everybody knows. This keeps negative or inaccurate narratives from seizing control of our thoughts. Andrew, you and I have talked about this countless times, yep. Even on our team. We need to over-communicate on our team during these times. And boy, have we. We've had so many Zoom meetings. I think everybody's going, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
But
this is one thing that we've tried to do is have more frequent, shorter checkpoints, check-ins. Yeah. And one of the things we've introduced on our team is 8:30 a.m. We're all checking in and making sure that we're all on the same page. Everybody, you know, no obstacles have been hit, no roadblocks have been run into, and that we all know what's going on that day. And it can start to feel like repetitive. Yeah. But one of the things I've noticed is probably once a week I'm in one of those meetings and somebody says something and I go, wait, I didn't know about that, you know? Because you can just really easily forget, oh, I forgot I didn't tell you or whatever. And it happens because you're not in the same room or the same office or whatever that situation is. So this is a really great principle.
Well, and the other side of that coin you just brought up is sometimes it isn't so much about information, but it's just about connection. I mean, you hear JT or Tyler or whatever say something and, oh, yeah, you know, and it was just the connection. Like seeing Tyler on the Zoom call today with his son Wilson on his lap, that just brought my heart back to, okay, this is what life's about.
Absolutely.
Wilson is the next generation if there ever was a candidate for the next generation.
Yep, it's a nice little reminder of our mission statement as we're talking about our day. So
that's right, yeah.
I love that. Well, let me reiterate these six steps and then I know you want to close out. Number one was regulate your expectations. So what are you expecting of your day? And get psyched up for the time alone. Schedule everything. So think about your day and plan different things. Go outside for a while every single day. It breaks up the monotony. Journal daily, which is really great advice on keeping your own mental health and thoughts in check. Number five was recognize the different personalities of the people with which you're isolated. And then number six was communicate consistently. I think us following some of these principles from Scott may just help us with our own mental health, that space between our ears, more or less.
Yeah, no doubt.
I know in isolation, it's hard for us to know exactly what to do. And occasionally you and I get wind of these stories of things that are going on and decisions people are making during isolation. And you just told me about the story of a one young lady who turned a really hard quarantine moment into a service project. I wonder if you might share that story.
Yeah. So this gal was a student athlete. So she's a student, a next gen leader, who was really a little frustrated at the quarantine situation herself, like we all get, not able to get out and do the strength and conditioning in a gym that she typically would do. But she finally decided she needed to get out. She needed to go to the supermarket and get some groceries, which we all do. But this one particular trip turned out to be a breakthrough. So she hops in her car, drives out to the supermarket. As she's walking through the parking lot, she hears a strange noise from someone sitting in a car in that same parking lot. So she walks over to see what the noise is, and it was actually an elderly couple that was yelling for help. They were wanting someone to help them. And when she walked over to the window, they cracked it. Now, they were in a closed car running. But the reason they had the windows up and everything is because they were so afraid of being infected as, you know, elderly people, and they're more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But they said, we're so afraid to go into that supermarket. Is there any chance we have of you helping us shop for our groceries? And this student said, absolutely. Well, they handed her a $100 bill and said, here's our list. Would you mind doing this? This student athlete posted later, this is the highlight of my day. I was frustrated myself about my life to myself, and it ended up being turned completely around by my ability to help a person who was, or two people that were in desperate need of my help. So maybe this is just a little secret that we need to remember, that maybe if we got our mind off of me and onto we or you, like this student did, maybe that would be part of her answer to staying sane in a quarantine. So Scott Kelly, great, great, great six steps that you give us. But boy, I love the lesson that young student learned that day.
Me too. I love learning lessons from the next generation, that very same generation we're trying to help improve and empower. There, sometimes they do the same back to us. So thanks for sharing that story, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening today. If you're looking for a resource that you can utilize in the midst of this quarantine isolation time that can help you continue to empower the young people you're around, whether virtually or whether they're, you know, your kids that you're quarantined with, we want to encourage you to utilize Home Chats. Home Chats are a free resource we created that sort of are going along with this COVID-19 season of life that we're in. All you have to do is go to growingleaders.com/homechats, and you will find these downloadable resources that have great discussion questions, stories, activity ideas, things that will sort of break up the monotony, as we've talked about so many times. So once again, that's growingleaders.com/homechats. You can find out more information about that. As always, if you would rate this podcast, get the word out about what we're doing, share it with friends. Those things really help us. If you want to connect with us on social media, we are at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. Pretty much everywhere you are, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And always, if you have ideas for this podcast, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those suggestions from you. I think it really helps improve the show. So, Tim, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. Thank you, Scott Kelly, for giving us some advice on isolation. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.